to fit for hours, gone round and round. And now I think that I've got it all down. And as I say it louder, love how it sounds. 'Cause I'm not taking the easy way out. Not wrapping this in ribbons, shouldn't have to give a reason why. It's no surprise I won't be
I'm in the rain. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord.
Oh, Elijah, oh, Elijah, oh,
Elijah, monk.
Elijah, oh, 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 oh, Elijah, oh,
come on, sister, help me to pray, tell me my Lord done pass his way.
Elijah, rock.
With the kids. We had a good time. We did some exploring and had some practical purposes for it, but also just a good chance to get away and change the atmosphere a little bit. And it was really good. And we really had a good time. Now everybody's begun to be headed back to their more regular things. One at college and one at school, and one has a little bit more break left, so that was good. So I have Deb and Rosemary in chat. Hi, glad to see you. And I did miss being here, but it really, I just needed a chance to really, really compress. I haven't really taken time away too much for not this way and ever from our gathering, but it was good and very helpful and mind clearing a little bit, although he still got me highly distracted here. Excuse me, we have had some correspondence with some of our church family over the last several days, but just things keep rolling. We've all got our sort of combination of considerations that we have at home and or around us or personally or so whatever they are continuing and continuing to evolve. And for that reason, largely, while I have a little garage work, Michelle forwarded some things to me. There's some things kind of out there. But as I think it was Tana, said the other day, I think I listened in archives, and she said that basically we have a sign from Juni, the boots on the ground in Syria, and we have the dates that have been laid out before us and the ones that I've mentioned specifically. I am primarily looking at our 27-day offset on the Gregorian calendar, 28-day offset to the Jewish calendar. But either way, we've discussed these dates. The Lord has reinforced them before we even knew we really had them, because I just hadn't focused that far down the road when Carol and Pat had sort of a mutual divine moment of encouragement and a revelation of the dates, the 21st and the 26th. And I do expect those days are significant. They are only a day or two sooner than the dates many people have clicked onto at the moment, where they're simply shifting the Jewish calendar back a full month. That's a different way to look at it, and I understand it. It's just not what I was personally led to. So, got Mama Pat on the line. I'll open her up in just a second. And, I made an Indiana Jones comment in the chat. It's still a little bit like that. I'm still a little bit Indiana Jerry mode here. And I'm not sure that's going to change. I think it's going to continue to evolve. but I would hope that it would change at some point. But I hope to be out of here too, and I don't know what the Lord has at the moment. He's told me basically, except for today, he's asked me to do something specifically. But overall, he is indicating to me he will take care of it. When he takes care of things and he does things, he still seems to manage to give me a part in the process. And sometimes it's okay, and other times it's not the most pleasant thing. And I mean on my part. It's just sometimes, a lot of prophets, and I'm not calling myself a prophet, I'm just saying we know historically that the biblical patriarchs were often led to deliver difficult messages. And that's what God asked them to do. And I just know a little bit of what that feels like, because they're also not the generally expected or accepted things that cookie cutter Christianity is comfortable with. But God is not a cookie cutter God, and quite frankly, his real messages have just as much teeth as any other real message. So at least there is a provocative teeth, maybe. Not necessarily the most favorable way to put it, but they are provoking because God doesn't mess around. Okay, so let me get Mama Pat on the line here. Let's say hi to her. Hi, Pat.
Hi, guys. Love you all. Love you, Jesus.
You
love you, Jesus.
that's right. Where's Tana? Come on.
Maybe
Tana, I don't know. Okay. Maybe Tana did poof through yellow goo the other day. I'm not sure.
Oh, hey. She's just preparing a
love
place.
Love you, Jesus.
Setting the table.
Right. Thank you, Pat. Missed you, although we did exchange a little bit on email. But I was really,
stuff.
it was a really good opportunity for me to really get my mind off a lot of these things.
Sure.
I just mentioned that I had a little garage work. that I can go into. There's things I'm not sure. I heard Michelle did a great job going through some garage work last night, and I haven't had a chance to listen to that show yet. I think I will tomorrow or tonight. But but either way, there are some things out there, and we know that there are people heavily focused on this same time period, which we were led to. They've gotten to that place in a different way in terms of their links all the way into early November. And so they're out there, and I might find a way to get into that tomorrow or someday. But right now, I'm just kind of saying, hi, I'm back.
Great.
Seeing what other people have to say and really, really interested in where he leads us from here. We've got a big week coming up. It's going to be very interesting on the 22nd to see what happens.
Yeah.
Now, let me be clear about this. I had no way to know, nor was I really concerned, that so many people would sort of figure out legitimately that the Jewish calendar is 1 month off. When I started speaking about this other calendar that he led me to, and when I say he led me to, I just know one night he sort of grabbed hold of me and just showed me these things. He led me to research these things, and even though this is information that had been in front of me, some of it for more than a year, I was just not led to go that deeply into it up until that one night. And when I did, he showed me a combination of new things that I had never seen before, and they matched the leading that I had about something on the order of about a 27-day offset. And also, as somebody's pointed out in one of their emails to me recently, we also have a 27-day period in the Elijah pattern. Now, I have not done it yet, but I think we've traveled far enough down the calendar road, if you will. I suspect it's time to go back and revisit the Elijah pattern a little bit and to see what some of those elements might look like laid over this continuing time period. And I have no idea what, if anything, we'll find. I know, for example, that November 5th last year was part of the Elijah pattern. The Elijah pattern typically, its most fundamental building block was sections of 50 days. And with a few other pieces thrown in, but basically 50 days. And all that also added up to, in three parts of three, 150, and parts of six, 300, and so on. So I think that's something else when I have the spiritual, mental, and emotional space to do that. Right now, I'm in. I do still have a significant preoccupation right now, which is consuming a lot of my rapture-centric time and energy. What I wanted to say was simply that, in all honesty, it's not comfortable to see all these other people out there shifting the Jewish calendar month and being close, but one or two days different than where I'm at. And all I know to do is to follow where he leads me. And it has never been about consensus, and it has never been about popularity, and it has never been about anything other than trying to follow where he's led me. And so I don't know, I think most of us who hang out together regularly have enough maturity to understand that these things can vary and shift a little bit from one time to the next. I'm not making any excuses, nor am I modifying anything I've said. I'm simply saying, if you want to call it irony, you can call it irony. If you want to call it some other thing, go ahead. It's up to you. But I'm just saying, I'm fully well aware that there's this slight offset in the days that I've been led to. And for that matter, fortunately, I can also claim that Carol and Pat have been led to some of those same days. So that's good. So, you know, mm-hmm. he has sort of placed us as a group on a slightly different, very similar but slightly different time consideration, day calendar consideration than others have right now. I don't know how that's going to work out. And the doubly ironic thing is I've personally had this November 5th date set for 5 years now, and over 5 years because I received it in June that year. So it's, you know, I don't have, well, here's what I have on that. I'm not going to get into a bunch of garage work, but what I will do is say on the 27-28 day offset, depending on how you look at it, whether it's the Jewish calendar or the Gregorian calendar, from our point of view, I think because of the Jewish feast and because I was led to this through Enoch calendar information, I'm going to reference the Enoch calendar, which is one day offset later than the Jewish calendar. So that makes it a 28-day offset, and from the Jewish calendar. And I'm just going to say that if you take our date of the 2nd of November as the 8th day of trumpets, and then go 3 days to the 5th, that becomes the, quote, becomes the proverbial third day. Which is also kind of ironic because there's a mixture in there of which days of the week it is, too. And so it's, all I know is the people who are looking at the Jewish offset calendar are actually looking right at the 5th of November. On our, in my more recent leading, I don't have anything that takes me straight to the 5th of November. I do get to the 4th of November, but that's sort of the farthest out I'm looking, and that's an example of how I'm simply, I think it's constructive to say, you know, this isn't, even at this point after doing this for so long, after following his leading, trail of breadcrumbs, pick a descriptive word. Or a colorful metaphor, if you wish. Whatever you like to call it, I'm just saying, even at this point, it's not easy following his leading, because it, whether you just consider it a faith walk or not, it is not lost on me. There's a little bit of a shift. And all I can say is, you know, this is not on purpose on my part. I'm not trying to be different on purpose. And quite frankly, nobody suggested that. And within our group, I think we all understand how these things have occurred. But every once in a while, I'd like to consider to take other people into account who might not really understand or be aware of the background here. And, in terms of how he's walked us through literally the calendar over the last year and a half. And so I thought I would just sort of redress this and say, you know, we're not different on purpose other than it's intentionally following what he's shown us and led us to. Mm. And if that causes us to be different, that's on him. That's his thing, and we're obediently following and communicating based on our best understanding and what he indicates that he wants us to say. So I won't go into any more of that tonight, but I just wanted to lay that out there because it's, you know, when you walk with him and try to follow him, he does, you know, to use a cliche, take the road less traveled. And he leads us down that road. And so right there is a little bit of a faith walk. I mean, let's face it, the world is full of lemmings, people who simply follow the crowd, go along to get along, whatever. you want to, whatever set of words you want to apply to it, whatever phrase. But, you know, to many people, they are so socially sympathetic that it's shocking, especially these days. It's the overwhelming majority of people seem to be primarily concerned with what other people think. And, you know, when you get too concerned with what other people think, you start thinking, stop thinking for yourself. And that is a good definition of a sheeple, a good definition of the masses which are being led to slaughter spiritually, in particular at the moment, through media sources, cultural trends, and other means. So make sure you're stopping to think for yourself and not just following the crowd. That is a message that was routinely taught when I was young. And now it is a message indirectly mocked at in many different ways. I saw a comment today about my kids follow the Avenger and superhero movies that have come out lately, the comic book heroes and things. And one of my girls is a big fan of Captain America. And I just saw they're making a Captain America movie right now. And I just saw that in this next movie, they're saying that Captain America is going to be battling right-wing extremists. And, of course, that is, in the current political climate, just about the most politically correct, media-friendly message you can send. And it just occurred to me that, you know, of course, right-wing extremists in today's, first of all, the whole notion of an extremist is up for definition because they say, for example, on the current government's list of right-wing extremism, are things like evangelical Christianity, which is nothing more than spreading the message of Jesus Christ. Another thing that is considered right-wing extremism is mentioning or suggesting that the government should follow the Constitution. That's considered right-wing extremism. If you mention the Constitution and applying it to the government in a favorable light, that's considered right-wing extremism. Okay, so one should consider who's making up these definitions. Could it be left-wing extremists? And if you have a right-wing extremist opposing the government, could it be because the government is being run by left-wing extremists? I simply ask these questions because I think they're worth considering. Obviously, we're not that political here, and quite frankly, I don't have a very strong political consideration at this point. I believe it's all in God's hands. He's going to do things, and he will lead the masses, whether or not they're aware of it, to his purpose. And I believe that he's not calling me, or frankly, any of us, to seek his leading on a daily basis. I don't think he's calling us to be active in that cesspool. But I do think, and I've said this the other day, while I don't really put much stock in all the political stuff right now, I think it's a huge unnecessary distraction for those who have a true spiritual connection to God, unless he directly leads you into something like that. However, I do believe that he's indicated to me that he's going to use the messages of Donald Trump to raise awareness and for his purpose. What that ultimate purpose is, I do not know necessarily. But with God, all things are possible. And whether or not the worst things that could happen do happen, as we have been directly told through our leading, Judy has, is her son, and many others, there's any number of possibilities. God led Israel to literal destruction on many occasions, only to find a way to bring them back. And so we are in the, I believe, ultimate, or at least penultimate, depending on how you want to parse the prophecies. We are right at the doorstep of the last cycle of Israel's destruction and regeneration. And that cycle coincides with the birth of the bride, those who birth through faith in the Holy Spirit. And that could be today.
Amen.
It really could be. It really could be today. I have a feeling, because of some of the personal things that I think he's calling me to follow through with, that it probably won't be today, but it could be very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will see. He gave me a word last night. It was a totally a personal word. And but as part of that, discussing some different things, I do, whether it's the boots on the ground in Syria or the calendar dates that he has us looking at, which he has directly led us to, or what he's told me in my circumstances, and I have to say also to some degree the circumstances of others that I'm familiar with, and I'm not going to get into the details, but there's been a lot of transition that has been initiated in the last week or two, and it has got a lot of momentum. And so whether it's myself or several others I'm aware of, there's a lot of transition ongoing. And so it could be very, very soon. In fact, speaking of our departure, and one of the modes of transportation is the spiritual train. There's a train coming rolling down the tracks and so on and so forth. Well, so the other day, it was yesterday maybe, or the night before, that I scheduled tonight's show. And in the text box, I put, the end is near. It went that way. It went his way. And that literally was inspired by the passing of a train. And, we were somewhere where the train went right past where we were at. And we were sort of sightseeing. And it's an area where you would expect to have long trains. And it turned out to be not super short, but shorter than we expected. And the next thing we knew, it went that way. And I realized immediately that it was a concept that he wanted me to share. So it's going his way. The end is near. It went that way. That's how close it is. It's almost past you. And so we will see what he does. But for sure, our God, Yahweh, Yeshua, Elohim, he's on the job, and he is doing things his way. And it's going to be fine for those who are vested in faith and relationship with him. So, okay, I'm sure I could rattle on with random thoughts for a while, but I think that's pretty much what I had for today. Pat, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm just here and staying close to the Lord and hanging on like everybody else, you know, praying and, just here. I do a lot of online work, a lot of counseling, a lot of sharing, a lot of whatever, so I'm for hours online, which is good because it's doing the Lord's work, and he leads me into all kinds of stuff, and if I feel inspired to send something, I send it, whether I understand it or not, he'll say, send this, send it, I'll go, oh, are you sure? Like, don't ask God if he's sure, just do it, So I send some stuff, and sometimes I wonder, like, this person's going to think I'm a little nuts, but they'll come back and say, oh, I needed that or whatever. And it's like, well, if you knew, pulling teeth sometimes because you might think I'm downright stupid, you know, but God knew that you needed something. And I'm like a kid with him, you know, I just listen and do. And, you know, if he can use me, honey, he can use anybody. Let's put it that way. Because if anybody's going to not get it right, it's going to be Mama Pat, you know. And God is kind of looking at her and going like, you know. Like,
yeah, that's right.
You want to help me? You want to help me or not? Like, do
you're
it.
Saying, Pat, indirectly, you're saying he gets all the credit, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, right. But it's like,
I mean, that's all you're
like,
really saying is he gets the credit.
It's because I'm so simple, he knows he can really get to me. Yeah, I will do things for him that maybe somebody else wouldn't send a certain something, you know, but I will because I don't care about me. I care about him, you know, and it takes a little courage to do that.
That's right.
Let's just put it that way.
You know,
I'm going to hijack yourself.
I'm going to hijack your metaphor of hanging on, and I'm going to say I quit hanging on, and I am no longer hanging on, and I have fallen into his net. So,
what he wants is that's
so
it. You know.
I am gracefully, if provocatively, saying whatever happens it's because I'm in his net. So.
Yeah. He knows. He's got it.
Yeah, he knows.
He's got it.
He does.
And I don't give him too much of an argument about anything. I will give him a look. You should hear some of the conversations we have. You would think like, Pat, wait a minute. That's God. That's God you're talking to. But it's like he doesn't remind me.
sometimes some of the things he asks or says are not what we expect from God.
Right.
So, you know, he actually sort of teases me on purpose.
I bet he does.
And he does. And and you know, you're like, it's let's put it this way. With him, it always works.
Yeah.
Because you're always taking him seriously. So, you know, there's no, you know, it's easy peasy for him. He can pull off things like that easily. So, but of course, his the depth of his heart is unmatched, and
he knows.
And so,
he knows us.
You know, he knows us all, and he knows us all individually. And
I wish I could remember some of the stuff.
He has his way of relating to us.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Oh, sometimes we talk so funny. I talk so funny to him, you know, and I'll get him to laugh. Yeah. You ever see him laugh? You ever see him have a good laugh? Really. I can see him in my heart. He's got the white fatal on. He's mostly 90% of the time he's just very casual, and he will laugh so hard he will lean over and he will put his hands on his knees like he's laughing so hard. You know, it is the most beautiful thing because I come up with dumb stupid things sometimes. You know, and he just has a real good belly laugh over us. He really does because we take ourselves so seriously and he sees it from another angle and he has a good laugh. And then I look at him like, what are you laughing at? I don't get it, because I'm just not too swift. But he has a good laugh.
Funny.
He does. He does.
Wow.
And he's done it several times where I've said something very simple, but it was not dumb, but it was just kind of funny, I guess. He took funny. And I can see him just having this belly laugh. He has the most wonderful laugh, beautiful smile.
Wow.
You know, and he just gets a kick out of us. He does. And I see the commercials sometimes. I don't watch a lot of TV or anything. I'm just not into that. But some of them are so dorky. Like I have like people dancing to different music and older people. And I said, oh, man, look at your kids. That's what I always say to him. Look at what your kids do. I said, you must have a good laugh sometimes. Look at your kids, how crazy they are and what they're doing. And they weren't doing anything bad, but they were so silly. And I'm saying, look at this, you know. And I was laughing. He must be laughing, too, because they were so funny. Old people doing these crazy dances and trying to roller skate and it just insane. It was so funny. And I said, look at your kids, what they do.
I really, honestly and truly, I think one of the most important, deepest spiritual understandings in creation is to understand that God has a sense of humor. Because
oh, he does.
You cannot take yourself too seriously and have a true sense of humor. And if God, okay, the creator of everything, the omnipotent, eternal being, you know, being, if he has a sense of humor, then everybody else who takes themselves seriously, especially i.e. too seriously, or who are unable to operate with a sense of humor in their lives, okay?
Oh, yeah. Bad.
You're missing the mark, okay? You got to relax.
You
give yourself a break.
He wants you to
break.
Be happy. He does. He doesn't want you to take yourself so seriously.
Okay.
You know.
One of the funniest things God ever did was create fallible human beings, okay? That's one of the funniest things he ever did. And if you don't buy into that, you are putting way too much pressure on yourself. You're holding yourself way too highly in esteem. And you are not affording yourself the biggest loophole in creation. Because he knew you were fallible or would become fallible. He knew you would become fallible from creation. So he's got a sense of humor. Give yourself a break and don't take yourself too seriously. Because God manages to have a sense of humor about all these things. Even if he's not happy about everything, he manages to have a sense of humor about it all. And that is always a backdoor because I use that a lot in my parenting. When I have to make a serious point with one of the kids and they have done something they shouldn't have done for the umpteenth time, I have to finally make a serious point. But I usually try to help them remember it with a little bit of humor,
and to let them understand
mm-hmm. that there is light at the end of the discipline tunnel. You know what I mean? That when I'm holding them accountable, that they need to understand that this will pass, right? This too shall pass. But get your act together, and this is God's message
that with
to
the grandkids.
Humanity.
Oh,
this is going to pass.
No.
Get your act together, but this will pass.
Let me tell you something. My kids are almost in their 50s, and I still have to be the mama, believe it or not. But I find if I can put a sense of humor in it, it just breaks the ice because they are adults. I think they're adults. Are you an adult at 50? I don't know. I'm 72. I'm still trying to figure it out. No. But they still need a mother. They really do. They do the damnedest things sometimes, and they're adults. Or they have those asinine attitudes about stuff, and they're adults. And it's like, mm-hmm. I thought I raised you better than that, you know? The grandkids are a trip. Oh, dear God, have mercy. I do have mercy.
right, exactly.
Yeah. I prayed about my grandson, and he said to me, always say thank you to him. He's very sensitive. He's had a lot of hurt in his life. He says, always be polite and say thank you and be cheerful. He says, then I get a way in. You open up because he's going to be surprised why you're so kind and thoughtful, and he's going to think about that, and I'm going right in. Going to Tokyo.
There you go. That's it.
But he does that.
Yeah.
He will do that.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Don't worry and fret. Just be very kind. Be thoughtful and thankful. Don't start a hassle. I love what he said to Judy, like that. I always remember her saying he told her to be quiet and not approach somebody and correct them. And 2 years later, they were out of whatever they were into. And I always remember that, like, just let up and let God work. Don't think you have to do it all by yourself and you got all the answers.
That's right.
Pound away. I mean, once in a while we really screw up. I mean, I know I did recently, and I was sorry, but it was like nothing God could tell me was going to change my mind about my attitude. I mean, that's really scary because I was so mad.
You know, I was so tempted just today to say something in particular to one of my daughters, and that I thought it was something that they should give more consideration to, And I was really, really strongly urged to do it, But I asked him first, and he said,
yes.
No, don't do it.
No, don't
no,
do
don't
it. Don't hurt.
And so we kind of went back and forth a couple times because it's like, okay, I won't. And then, you know, just a few moments later, I got another urge to do it. And I'm like, so I asked again. He said, no, don't. So finally, I really was able to set it aside. And as soon as I did, one of the thoughts that came to my mind was, you know, there are other people who can help her and, you know, bring this particular thing to her awareness. And it doesn't have to be you or, in my this case, me, first person. So I didn't
always
say anything, and I'm glad I didn't because it was what he wanted.
Well, I asked him today, I said, what do I do about Keith? And I said, he's just so rude. He's angry all the time. He's cursing and swearing. And then he said, and he told me, just be very kind. Say thank you a lot. Be very grateful. And that will open up his soul. But see, he's going to wonder why you're not treating him like everybody else is treating him. And he was going to wonder where the kindness comes from, where the thoughtfulness comes from, and that he has a chance to get in there. Because he's really a good person. He's very focused. He's very intelligent. But he's the world kind of by the throat, you know. He's not a bad person. He does a lot to help out. He's 25 almost. Yeah, but boy, what an age. So you wring your hair, your hands, you know, figure out how to get him on board spiritually.
More and more, I don't especially excuse any kind of an angry behavior, but more and more, I think when I see people who have angry behavior, I really believe a lot of times it's because they see and become aware of things that are genuinely not right. Not just on their behalf, but they know that there's things, you know, it could be anything, but they're just, they for some reason in their lives have a front row seat to something in particular in their life that is not right, but they are unable to either express it very well to anybody else, or they're unable to do something about it, or they feel stuck where have to continue to deal with it. And that's where a lot of anger and frustration comes from. And you know what? That's a reflection of the broken world.
Oh, definitely. Because they're right into it.
And that actually leads me into something that the Lord gave me many days ago, and I just never had a chance to get into it. But it is so hard. And I know to get me in the place where he's got me right now, it has literally taken more than a decade. It's actually taken closer to 20 years. And I know I can look back farther and would be able to show people points in time where I know he was heavily involved in certain specific things that were going on that were all part of this continuum. But it's been a very, very long walk. That's why I like that song, Faith of the Heart Starts. It's been a long road because for me, it has been. In my case, it's been a very eclectic mixture of triumph and frustration and other emotions. And much of it was playing out in a way that made it very difficult to understand on the human level, basically impossible. I was aware in the background for a long time that this has to be God. I was trusting God for everything. I was like, I just couldn't understand why he was allowing things to go the way they went. And that's because I didn't know where he was going. And this is the thing. We do not know. And we do not know where he's going with our lives. And but we have to, A, be willing to go where he wants us to go, and B, and a lot of times he'll wait until we express our willingness. And that can be a scary thing. And in the end, looking back, I can see where he wanted me to go, and I have some understanding now of why he wanted me to go where he wanted me to go. I would like to have a more complete understanding, or maybe I wouldn't. But either way,
yeah.
But either way, this process, and all of us in our lives, whether or not we are consciously following God or not, most of us in our lives face all sorts of things where if we judge ourselves by the world's standards, we're going to look like failures.
Oh, yeah.
Because the world's standards are not God's standards.
Right.
And furthermore, the world's standards are evil and dark and partially designed to discourage people and make them feel awful.
Yeah.
And even the people who are playing along with evil knowingly are going to at some point face failure because the other side, their leader, Satan, he will devour all who follow him eventually. And that is his goal. So what I'm saying is the world standards are broken standards. They are like a broken mirror. If you look at yourself in a broken mirror, you will always see cracks. You will always see faults, and they're going to be the most prominent thing you see. But don't judge yourself, anyone out there, by the world's standards, by the world's convention, or even what the world says God's opinion is. Okay? Because the world isn't living with God. The world does not have a relationship with God. The world has largely forsaken a true Elohim, Yahweh, Jesus leading. And so if you allow yourself to judge yourself by the standards of the world, the flaws of the world are what you will see in yourself.
Oh, sure.
And give everybody out there, anybody who's feeling self-conscious or broken or failure or whatever word you want to use, the first thing you do, okay, am I judging by worldly standards or am I judging by God's standards? Because honestly, God is much less complex, the true living God. He's much less complex than the world, because the world is designed as a trap, and God is not always completely clear, but he's not trying to trap you. And so if you check with God and ask him how you're doing,
right,
you will get a true, correct answer and a loving desire on his part to see you overcome and succeed in his will, not necessarily in the world, but in his will. So anyway, this is what he was impressing upon me now several days ago, and that is when you judge yourself by the world standards, you're seeing your reflection in a broken mirror. You always see your faults, but it's God's standards that are the ones that matter. And check with him and let him work with him, not the world, on improving your condition, because you're going to end up with really bad makeup if you do it in a broken mirror.
Yeah, sure.
But your countenance will be right if you use God's perspective to guide yourself to healing in a better place. So, that was one thing that he really wanted me to share many days ago, and now I
just
did.
Good. Yeah, that's true. Don't, you can't go by the world standards. It'll just it'll destroy you. And pray. We just pray for conversions, that people will have a wake up call to get, you know, listen to God in their spirit. You know, Shekinah glory, Lord, go get them.
In many ways.
Oh boy.
Now, God can place people. He can take people. He can use them. and place them in positions of worldly renown and respect, whether the world is aware of it or not. And I have to tell you, I'm increasingly aware of people who I think, in spite of their reputations, may actually have an understanding from God about what they're doing in their lives. But to the public persona, you would think that they're exactly the opposite. And I'm not going to get into that too much, but it's just an awareness that I had the other day. And I've seen it bear out with a few, you know, popular artists and things. So that thought distracted me from where I was really going. But the thing is, if you see somebody really succeeding in the world and, as they say, living like hell, or basically living only to worldly standards and not God's standards, to the best of your understanding, that actually might be one of the saddest things in the world. Because it means they're that disconnected from what God
there's so
wants
many
in their
disconnected
lives.
People. Yeah. That's why you just keep praying and covering people with the blood.
Do not let the success of others in this world be a discouragement to you on your part, because you know, success in this world is just in many ways distance from God's will in your own life. So anyway, that was a message he wanted me to share, and there were other things going on, and today turned out to be today to share that. So don't let the reflection of a broken world be the way you judge yourself.
J.D. Farag, is that his name? F-A-R-A-G?
Yeah.
He was talking, he was very good. He's just one thing he said, read scripture because you see God's plan even through these days we're living through. And even though you see all the horror around you and so much horror, he says the peace you have and what makes you stand firm is what God has revealed in scripture about these days, you know. And it really hit that gives us peace. And because we're still going to see a lot of, maybe not too much because I think we're out of here soon, but we're like Israel's a mess. 10 people were killed today, and they killed an innocent person and thought he was one of the terrorists. They're all going crazy over there. And now they're having a big meeting. Kerry's going over next week and meeting with all the big wigs about what to do about the Middle East thing. And the newscaster said, what are they going to do, you know? What are they going to do, really? How are they going to, you know? Evil's going to be evil. Violence is going to be violence. People are angry. They're going to lash out. What's going to stop that? Talking? Are you kidding?
Sure. Well,
you know?
This is
angry
it's
people.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. I fear for anybody going to Israel. They shouldn't go.
They've been taught anger. They've been taught anger every day
violence.
Of their lives.
Yes.
They've been taught to look at the Israeli people as less as subhuman.
Yes.
And all the things that we're so browbeaten about. I mean, we're taught in our culture anymore, we're taught to treat any leading thing as if it's some animated conscious object, right? I'm surprised we don't have conscience police out about cutting grass because, you know, it has a spirit or
water
something.
On.
You know, and then these same people embrace the media that look the other way. When all these lies are taught and all these lies are demonstrated, for example, in the Arab culture against Israel, and they don't report that at all. And so there's so much bias and so little lack of perspective worldwide in how priorities are displayed. And it's intentional. It's an intentional skewing. It's an intentional distortion of reality. And so, it's just a mess. So we can talk about that a little bit more. I think some things are going to start to clarify here in a few days. Personally, it's been, there's been a lot going on, but there's no obvious direction other than to try to cow Israel into accepting things.
Yeah.
I did note that the Russians threatened to shoot down what apparently was actually a drone, Israeli drone, that was trying to do surveillance over the Russian ships in port in Tartus. But you know, the Israelis, they have their ways. And the Russians are clever. They've had a lot of time to develop technology. I am curious that we are not seeing the Chinese, it's not being reported that the Chinese have begun to join the airstrikes. The airstrikes with the Russians in Syria.
Okay.
The Chinese?
They have said they would.
They said they would, but I have not seen any reports that they
actually
are.
Oh, no, not in news, but I've heard that they are, yes. Oh, there's one more thing that they're going to discuss. Wait till you hear this one. It's like, well, the Russians might fly one day, and the United States another day, and the Canadians another day, and Turkey another day, and Iran another day. Like, guys, break up the days for flying so you don't crash into each other and really cause a problem.
So that's what they're going to discuss. You know, it's like gas rationing. You know, you can go do your airstrikes if your license plate has a certain number on the end of its digit.
That's what they want to do.
It's like gas
rationing. Not every day.
Okay.
Not everybody up there at once. That's what they're talking about. I mean, hello.
Yeah,
see how all that works. You take Monday,
Tuesday. There's still, regardless of headlines, I still assert that there is minimal effective striking going on against ISIS. So. I still believe they're both paving the red carpet for ISIS to march through Syria, so we will
see
how that goes.
Guys.
However, prophecy says the leader of Syria does not fall.
And they're interested in Golan Heights.
This is the correct leader of Syria.
Yeah.
The leader of Syria does not fall in the end times.
Wow.
So since we think we're there, and we think we're seeing Ezekiel 38, et cetera, forming. I think that's a very interesting consideration. Very interesting consideration. Pat, did you have any other thing on your mind? Because I think I'm going to close it out.
There's a story here, Back to the Future points to November meteors on the 9th. So I haven't even looked at the thing yet, but that was just one of the things on here now. Yeah.
Well, there are scheduled meteor showers, at least pretty much one a month, that are discussed. If you would look up meteor showers and they almost have a month. Yeah, and then, you know, they're of all different strengths. They're traditional. Most of them, the overwhelming majority of them have been tracked and experienced every year. They know what days to expect them, roughly what the intensity level is, although it does vary some from year to year. And in many cases, they've been able to track the original object that went through space and left trail of debris. So,
why are you mentioning this on the 9th, unless they're indicating or intimating that maybe there's something serious going to hit on the 9th? I don't know. We're not going to be here.
Well, you know, everything is getting mentioned right now. And the question is it relevant? And it's much harder to answer the relevancy question. For example, there's a newspaper in England called The Express that I saw even Dabu referenced in a story today. And quite frankly, they seem to me to be a schlock publication because about every 3 months, there is a list that all astronomers access. You can see it, by the way. If you go to spaceweather.com and scroll down to the bottom of the page, you can see the list of all the incoming what they call near-Earth objects. Asteroids and things. And you can see the list of them, and it tells you their estimate at how big they are, what their closest approach is going to be, and what day that's going to be on. And this British newspaper goes through this list, and every 2 or 3 months publishes an article because in astronomy, the thing that measures an infinite universe, okay, their term is a near-Earth object. But very, very few of these ever get as close as the moon. Some of them are 60-some times farther than the moon on their projected path than to Earth. And then they will pick one up, and they usually pick the bigger ones because then they can do, oh, but if this one would happen to actually hit Earth, oh, it would destroy a city. It would destroy
Halloween.
Blah, 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 blah. And they write, these, you know, they write all these things. Yeah.
Halloween.
And look, just go to spaceweather.com, look up the one they're
mm-hmm.
talking about, see what the path is projected to be,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it could vary, but you'll be
2,000
you begin
miles.
To see these things,
mm-hmm.
you realize that day after day, there's all these things out there, and just because they're called near-Earth objects doesn't mean
they're near hit.
By a civilian, standard, run-of-the-mill person.
I know, they're
okay?
kind of far away.
If something is 30 times the distance at its closest point to the moon,
I mean, hello.
I think we can all agree we wouldn't be very concerned about it hitting
we'll
Earth,
breathe
right?
the next day.
Okay, so if that's its closest point,
oh, goodness.
Then they're writing these. It's called the Express UK, and they're writing these articles every 2 or 3 months, churning the news, getting clicks
oh, sure.
on their website, and
oh,
all
sure.
they're doing is getting clicks on the website, and you know just be advised that. These things they're calling near Earth, and then they, you know,
aren't.
Take all these careful what-if scenarios. Yeah, well, what if? Okay, I mean, you know, that's the kind of conversation you have with a four-year-old, right? What if? Okay.
I'm glad we can say what if,
you know?
My friend.
My wife was driving down the road one time, and one of our daughters is about 4 years old, and they're going down the road in this housing area, and she says,
mm-hmm.
Mom, what if houses could fly? And,
right.
And, okay.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
Well, that's great. What if, okay? But, you know, a what if does not
True.
Make a serious consideration, okay? And these people, the news business, especially the internet news business, has degraded and declined so much that they don't use, you know, it's all about getting clicks. So
of course it is. Sure it is.
Just use discernment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Have a little talk with God. What's coming here? Nothing.
We've got the best and biggest what if, okay? And we're not looking for clicks at all. And our best and
no.
biggest what if is one day, not only could God, but God will, in fact, translate
us
and take us as his bride and conduct a rapture worldwide. And that will be the true game changer of game changers. So this is God's plan. And strangely, you see them write about this rarely. But anyway, I suppose if they really switched on, they would become date setters, right?
Oh, dear me.
But we just
oh,
say that
boy.
Date set as we are led and not for any other purpose. So anyway...
Oh, yeah. Anyway, no, that's basically it.
Right.
No. I'm just here waiting like everybody else.
Okay.
Trying to be
Pat,
kind and good and patient.
Glad to be back, everybody.
Well,
love
good.
You all,
I'm glad you're back. Glad you had some time off.
Wherever
you needed
it
that.
Was a much needed, genuine time away. Other
well, that's
instead
good.
Of just a short break.
That's
so.
Good.
Very happy about it. Let me. I'm going to send us out with a nice song. Praise
sure.
him, people. Seek him.
Praise
and,
him, bless him, love him. Thank
he
him.
He is coming, and
mm-hmm.
he will meet us spiritually and physically. And love you all, and see you in the
love
air.
Love you all too.
Or tomorrow.
Yeah, in the air. See you there. Okie doke.
Okay.
God, we wait. You're